Kira, I have to leave probably in a few minutes for some labs I have to get. Is it okay if I hand over hosting to you? All right, cool. Thank you.
Great. Should we go ahead and start with introductions? Great. Okay, I'll start. Manuel Vasquez, co-chair Council Affairs, Chuck Adams.
Chuck Adams, member.
Great. Maria Lacayo.
Hi, Maria Lacayo with HIV Health Services.
TJ Lee.
Hi, I'm TJ Lee Miyake, council member, community affairs committee member.
Matt Geltmaker.
Matt Geltmaker, council member.
Mark Molnar.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
Nolly.
Oh, one thing. I'm so sorry. I might as well use this point. I just realized that Kat, you're the host of this, so I don't need to worry about handing over anything to anyone. So sorry about that.
No worries. Nolly.
Hi, Nolly, council member.
Thomas Noble.
Thomas Noble, Gummer Co-Chair.
Kat Tajir.
Pat Touchgear, council staff.
And Kira.
Kira, council staff.
Great. Thank you, everyone. We will now proceed to review and approve the draft agenda. There you go. Anyone have any comments? No? Okay, thank you. We will then go ahead and look at the draft minutes from September 3rd. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none for both the agenda and minutes, both are approved. Great. Now we're moving into announcements. Any announcements from anyone?
Just might need to pop out early. So if folks see me disappear, that's disappearing.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I might
Thank
need
you.
to do that too.
Sure. Just announcement from MoCD. MoCD has released its request for proposals for all of its grants for the next 5-year cycle. That has been sent out through various listservs. And so if you have any questions, we do have an email address you do have to reach out to officially. But if you want a link to the plan, you're welcome to reach out to me. Any other announcements? No? Okay. Public comment. Do we have anyone from public comment today? Okay, moving forward. Welcome, Marco.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone.
Okay, we're going to move forward with the Marin County report. Nolly.
Hi, everyone. Okay, let me share my screen. Finished it right before this meeting. Okay.
I can just barely hear you.
Oh, sorry, my audio is not great today. Okay, let's see. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. You just sounded really super muffled and like down a tunnel. So before.
Yeah, I won't connect to my AirPods, which is not great. Okay, so I'll just try to speak loudly. Okay, let me make this bigger. Okay, so this is our Marin County report. It's the same format that we've been using. Still haven't had the time to update it, but it still works. And here we go. Okay. I'm not gonna go into much detail because you have all, I think most of you have seen this before, but just I'll just do the some highlights. So here is the usual epi data that we share in terms of our community cases versus San Quentin, and then just showing your our combined numbers. Not much changes in terms of our demographics here. We did see 2% for transgender, so a few more folks who are identifying as transgender in our numbers, which is great. Let's see. Scrolling down here, we have, maybe it's a little too big. It's a little smaller. Oops, what did I do? Oh gosh, no, I don't like this. Let me open it up again. I don't like what that looks like. Okay, well, you get to see an MOU. Okay. Oh, it still looks weird. Oh well. That's what I want. Okay. Here we have the our data for people living with HIV. Let's see, what do I want to say about this? Okay, here's the breakdown by age. And of course, we see this all the time. These numbers are increasing for folks who are aging and living with HIV, which is good because people are living longer with HIV. Here's our breakdown for people living with HIV by race, ethnicity. I have a question for the group as well, because in terms of language, we've been using Latino, Latina, Latinx, but I hear people using Latine a little bit more, L-A-T-I-N-E. And I'm wondering, is that kind of the grouping that people prefer nowadays? Because I want to make that change if that is the case. Yeah, so maybe, yeah, think about it and let me know. Or if you want to tell me now so I can make some changes.
I mean, just from a HUD perspective, nah, I think HUD is very specific about their race, gender. I don't think they've added Latin yet, but Marco was shaking his head. Marco, from someone who's in the field, would you say it's something that you, it was a standard now?
I believe so, Manuel.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thomas has his hand raised.
It's a very politically challenging spot at the moment for the community. So just to put that out there, there's been too many changes in too short a time, and I don't think we're going to see a communal agreement at any time in the next so many months. So just as somebody who identifies as Latino, it's challenging for me personally. I feel like the influence came from outside the community to make some of that change. So, yeah. So just caution. People have a lot of energy around it.
Noted. Thank you, Thomas. Matt, your hand's raised.
Yeah, I was just going to comment, and I'm not Latino. I just know that a lot of this is reporting, especially HIV surveillance, is reported. We don't get to choose what the options are. So we have to follow what CDC and the feds do. So a lot of times we can't really change this. So that's why we've kind of stuck with what we do.
Yeah, okay. Which is why it still says Hispanic on here, because that's kind of the terminology that's used. But I just want to, yeah, put in more if that's what the community would like to see. But okay, so I'll leave it here for now, because that is the reason why we put all of this in there, because things were changing. But I just wanted folks to know that they're reflected in here.
Thank you, Noah.
Thanks for the feedback. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so this is our breakdown by race, ethnicity, transmission categories. And then I think more so I'll go in more detail for the new diagnoses. Okay, this is positive news. Here's our care continuum in Marin County. And we have an increase in the percent who are in HIV care from those who were diagnosed and then achieved viral suppression. So we did have a decrease the last few years, but now we're back up, which is good news for us. So we're at 82% in care and 77% virally suppressed.
Hey, Na. Mm-hmm. Quick, it's Matt, sorry. How are you, is this the care continuum that you're getting from the state?
Yes. Okay. It's from EHARS and
yeah. Which is, so just in case anybody asks, San Mateo is not going to do that because there are so many issues with that care continuum from EHARS. There are a lot of cases that are no longer living in, and then there are cases that are living in San Mateo. So just in case anybody asks, San Mateo really does not publish that care continuum.
It's also because we have smaller numbers, so our coordinator can like really follow up. Okay, these cases, and yeah, it's easier for us because we're smaller. Yeah. She did say this was preliminary, but I thought it was good enough because it was a couple quarters after the end of the year, the calendar year. In terms of new diagnoses, for the last 10 years, we've averaged 17, so slightly higher than what I reported last year. And here we have a chart for folks who are newly diagnosed with HIV. And because our numbers are smaller, we've decided to report it within like a 5-year increment. So 2014 to 2018, and then we're comparing that to the more recent 2019 to 2023. And here you see the breakdown, you know, majority males, closer to 85% for males, 84%, which is normally what we've seen in the past for Marin County. Let's see, in terms of age of diagnoses, we're seeing a larger group in the 25 to 39 age group who are being newly diagnosed. And then, of course, of note is especially for our Hispanic Latino population, those numbers are increasing, as you can see, from 39% to 57%. And the Latino population in Marin County is about 20%. So this is a pretty drastic disparity. And it's something that we recognize, especially as we're launching more of our HIV STI prevention planning to do more specific outreach for the population. And I mean, and our staff are great outreach workers because all of our support service workers and public health investigators are bicultural, bilingual. So we are really the best folks to kind of do that outreach. We've tried to have that done by CBOs in the past, and it just wasn't as successful. It was hard for them to retain Spanish speaking staff. And then for the transmission categories, of course, highest is MSM, and then, yeah, some of the others. Let's see, anything of note? Let's see, so compared to the previous 5 years, 97 versus 75 new diagnoses. So that is a decrease, although we had a slight increase in this most, the last calendar year. Okay. And then approximately 1 in 5 are being diagnosed with AIDS within a month of their HIV diagnosis. In the past, it was 1 to 4. So we are catching folks a little bit earlier, which is good news. And then I think some of these we've already said. Yeah, so of note, we really need to do more outreach and prevention for our Latino population. And yeah, it's been an interesting year for Marin County, as you all know. So for community input, we do our annual survey to clients. So we send the survey out by mail and email to folks who allow us to email and send them mail. And so we received about a 44% response rate. It's like 67 or something clients. And so they we asked them, you know, to do various satisfaction questions for each of the service categories. But in general, they said they ranked food vouchers, medical care, and emergency financial assistance as their top 3 priorities. And then, as you know, earlier this year, our main service provider for Ryan White Services had closed down. And so in April, so a couple months later, we held a community forum. And so this was a bit of a change for us. It was mainly to provide the update around Ryan White Services. And then we really focused the time on being able to gather community input because there were so many changes. It was a chance for us to make even more drastic changes since it wasn't tied to like a service provider. And so it was actually really well attended. The best so far in the 5 years I've been with Marin County. So we had 27 clients. So that's not even including staff and service providers. 27 clients came, and a third of whom were monolingual Spanish speakers, which was really great to see folks coming out. We were able to practice together. We had interpreters, and we all conducted this activity together to gather input on the service categories, what they liked, what they didn't like, if there were any additional services they wanted to see, things like that. And then here's some just our info on our own Marin County Council. We have 12. Let me update this. We have 12 members. I already updated these numbers. We have 12 members, which is great. And we're always looking for more, especially, you know, from our clients. And right now the breakdown is we have 7 folks who are positive on our council and 5 who are negative stakeholders and service providers. And then for our priorities and allocations, as usual, you know, we provide our council with in-depth presentations on client satisfaction survey results, you know, the service category summary sheets, similar to what John Ainsley did for us. We look at our ARIES data and then the EPI data by our surveillance coordinator. And so it took us 2 meetings to complete our priorities and allocations this year. And so we had 9 and 10 members for the first meeting. Is we completed the priorities, and then the second meeting we completed the allocations. And it was a weird year for us, so there were a lot of changes. And you'll see, I'll show you the chart in a little bit, but there were decisions made. So we are no longer funding mental health services and food pantry. And then all of the service categories except emergency financial assistance had a decrease in the budget. And all of these changes were made because there was a big push to increase the food voucher budget to accommodate the monthly budget from an $80 voucher to $100 for our eligible clients. So that's for folks who are, which we've actually increased the eligibility from 150% FPL to 200% FPL. So only the folks who are within 200% would be eligible to receive the monthly food voucher. And it was also a big ask because Marin County HHS receives Ryan White Part B funding from CDPH. And so we actually received a decrease in that. We used to include funds from Part B to the food voucher program, which we could no longer do. So we had to, you know, find even more money in our Part A as we were doing the allocations. But it was approved by our council unanimously. And here is what it looks like in terms of the priorities. And I keep on pushing the wrong thing. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so here's what it looks like in terms of the ranking and the allocation. So, you know, slight decreases for case management and benefits counseling, a slight decrease for health insurance premiums, a big increase for our food bank category. That's all going to food vouchers, not food pantry. I forgot to mention that the reasoning was that there are other food pantries that folks could be referred to. And so we didn't want to utilize Ryan White funds for a service that they could access through other programs, but whereas the food voucher program can only be accessed, you know, from our Ryan White clients. And then similarly with mental health services, it was underutilized when it was being held by our previous service provider. It was like 2 UDC and I don't know, it was like 1 or 2 UDC for the fiscal year. It wasn't enough where we could say like we should continue this. And also, you know, we identified that folks could be referred for therapy from other agencies. And so that's why we decided to remove it from the list of services. And then let's see, EFA stayed the same, and then slight decreases on medical transportation and psychosocial. And that's what it looks like. And then if you want to see the comparison from previous years, that's here. So that's that. You know, I had originally wanted to talk a little bit more about our prevention piece, but it's okay. Maybe I'll talk about it if I have time. But all right, so that's my presentation.
Great. Perfect. Thank you, Na. Does anyone have any questions for Na about the presentation? No. Well, thank you for those who did speak up and just pointed some things out. Thanks so much, Na.
Okay, thanks. And I saw that there was a request to add the E, so I'm going to add. There's no mark on it, right? It's just an E.
Sure. Right. I think that's acceptable. E.
Yeah, I can add that. No problem.
Okay, great. Okay, well, then moving right along, we'll switch over to San Mateo, Matt Geltmaker. You're on mute.
Yeah, there we go. There. So I had, I'm still finishing this current year. I'm waiting for our EPI to finish one little piece. I do have a more updated one, Kat, if you want me, am I going to be sharing?
If you have it and can, that would be great.
It's not completed. And it's in Publisher right now, because then I end up saving it in PDF. So I hope that it will be big enough for people to see. That's the only other problem. And I'm not as versed in Zoom. So to share, how do I do that? Share screen. Sorry, found it.
Yeah, the green button.
Okay. Okay. You're going to have to let me know if this is working. Can you see anything?
Yes, we
see
it.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay, so again, this is in Publisher. I end up, once I get it all completed, I save it as a PDF and send it on. Similar to Na, I have been doing the same format for probably, I was thinking today, I'd have to go back for at least over 10 years, probably going on 15 years. So I always start with the epi at the top. This data is actually accurate. We compare kind of living HIV cases, demographics to California. California is always a year behind, so they've only published as of December 31st, 2022, and we have published as of December 31st, 2023. So it is just 1 year difference. The gender is still off here. So some of this I haven't updated because of the way we have such small numbers. We were reporting in San Mateo County, trans female, trans male, and alternative gender identity all in one group. So I'm asking my epi if we can kind of split it up. So these are not the actual correct numbers, but the 1751 is the actual correct. But again, this is just the demographic data regarding our current living HIV cases that are in EHRs. As you can see, we've been for many years, mostly Latinx has been the higher population. And you'll also see that in about two slides down. The current age, all of us getting older, as you can see, the much higher numbers, percentages, the highest percentage being the 60 plus. And then exposure category, this is where another piece that I'm having my epi, because these numbers weren't correct. We had rolled up some numbers into categories, and it was a slight difference in how the roll up that California does. So that's why I'm going to be cleaning that up. But this is the basic format with all those demographics. I then utilize because a lot of people aren't familiar with San Mateo County, I try to, the EPIs put together a lovely little color-coded map to kind of show the higher, the deeper colors are the higher rates of HIV. These aren't basic numbers, but rates per 100, or per 10,000 people. But this has not changed much in the past few years. This map puts the zip codes in, and then this map gets rid of the zip codes and puts more of the larger towns or cities in, so people kind of have an understanding of where this is. But these are still last year, so she'll be updating these. These are our newly diagnosed cases in 2023, kind of also going back a few years so that you can see kind of how things go. Seems like we're always, you know, there was a little dip in 2020, as with everything, due to COVID, but we always kind of have been at a plateau. One of the things that I don't have the information on yet is the late testers. I know it sounded like you were talking about the late testers. We are trying to, we actually have an intern from Stanford that is doing a lot of deep diving into our late testers for 2023. We do have quite a few late testers. And one of the things that we've always known anecdotally, but we want the data to show, is kind of length of time that they've been either in the country or even in our jurisdiction or California. So, because most of them, the late tester cases have been with new immigrants who are late testing. So it's kind of hard to figure out how do we, you know, can't really do prevention messages for people if they're already coming to our county with HIV, but we're wanting to get better data on this. But it does break it down. Again, this was the piece I have blank right now because everything was rolled up because we had such small numbers. And because of being such small numbers, a 2% in this, so like the 0 to 19, 2%, that equals one case. So it's always really kind of hard when you have such small numbers that the percentages may look wonky. Again, the most new cases are in the 30 to 39, so younger in the new cases, even though the living cases are much older. Race, ethnicity, we've always continued to have the Latinx community being our larger population of new diagnoses. And then exposure, mostly been MSM. Again, we continue to have very low IDU. We're this weird county sandwiched in between San Francisco and Santa Clara with very low injection drug using population. So this is something that we are working on, not having specified. We are actually going to be going out. This is what the Stanford intern is doing, chart reviews. So being able to go out and individually review the charts to really get better information as to what's going on and what are the exposure and risk categories for our new diagnoses. I then go into just some key points. So as many of you kind of know, I have STI, HIV, and we also have hepatitis C under us. I have TB also, but I'm not reporting any of that. So the program, we did receive an increase in the Ryan White Part A funding of this much for the fiscal year 24-25. We allocated, and I think this is where I kind of had my idea for the, MMSC. Yeah, so Maria, I knew you would ask that. So that's the CDC's new category that was MSM, but now it is male-to-male sexual contact. I always struggle remembering kind of when they change the different letterings. Thank you. Oh, still getting used to Zoom. So much as like we did for the San Francisco piece, and I think this is where I got the idea when I raised it at last Council Affairs meeting around the allocation stuff, was really kind of increasing to the service categories that are not a part of the California Essential Health Benefits, especially given the addition of the Medi-Cal expansion this past January. So the increase we did distribute across our food bank, home delivered meals, and emergency financial assistance. And those are both service categories that are provided by our two community-based organizations. Then I always just kind of point out, a lot of this information is exactly what I provide in our report to our community board, but just the decrease that we've experienced going way back to 2011 in our Part A allocation. The number of clients seen, we continue to see an increase during the Part A fiscal year of 23-24, so March 1st of 2023 to February 29th of 2024, we saw a total of 643 clients received either Ryan White funded and or HOPWA funded services. Of those 643, 79 or 12.3% were new clients to our program, and we had 8 clients pass away. Edison Clinic continues, that's the main or the only HIV clinic in our county, continues to focus on vaccinating client population both for COVID-19 and Mpox. So they have been vaccinating patients with the new vaccine that was just approved by the FDA and CDC back in September. Also during San Mateo Pride, back on June 8th, which happens in Central Park in San Mateo, we collaborated. This was the second year in a row we collaborated with CDPH to provide Mpox vaccines to Pride attendees. And then also our STI HIV outreach team provided STI and HIV testing at the event. We received CDC HIV prevention funding, previously the PS181802 and now the PS24047 through CDPH. For fiscal year, the current fiscal year, we're getting 153, which is a decrease of 45,000. So 23% decrease from the previous years that we always received. We use mostly county funds to cover the costs of most of our prevention activities, because you can imagine 153,000 doesn't really go far. We do targeted HIV testing, targeted outreach, PrEP linkage to and retention and care, syringe exchange services. And then the team also, and this is where I need to clean up some of the wording. I was working on this morning, so I just need to clean up some of the team. I need to add HCV up here because we're all combined now. provide STI, HCV, and HIV testing at different community-based organization sites throughout the county. We provided also these services at substance use treatment programs, and we go into both of our county jails to provide those services. We do have HIV PrEP and DoxyPEP through our Edison Clinic, as well as we collaborate with the Sequoia Teen Wellness Center, which is in Redwood City and kind of in the south to mid part of the county, and then Daly City Health Center, which is in the north part of the county. We get referrals from other providers, the team itself, when they're doing outreach and doing testing events through our STI clinic at Edison, and then just patient self-referrals. We have our protocols and everything on our website. There was something else I wanted to add here, and I just thought it was when Na was talking. I got to remember to add in here, and I can't for the life of me remember what it is. I'll look back though, and I'll touch on something in just a minute when I get a few slides further. We do receive this enhanced funding. I need to put where we receive it from. We get it from the STD branch of CDPH for STI and HCV screening activities. And that's where we collaborate with the correctional health partners in the two jails to provide routine testing for chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, hep C, and HIV within the two county jails. We also partner with our street and field medicine team, whose target population is the unhoused, to increase testing for this the same infections that we test at for in the jails. So now I'm going into our community board. Right now we have 6 full-time members. It includes HIV positive consumers and HIV negative community members. We also do have community members who just attend kind of whenever they're able to, but they're not on a like an every meeting basis. So that's why I don't include them here. We do meet quarterly. Our annual prioritization meeting was held back on June 5th. And all of our agendas, minutes, and presentations can be found at this website that will be part of it. And that's where a lot of information that I put into this presentation is through the, I take from the presentations that I put together for the community board. So I just tried to take some snapshot points and put them in this. Demographics of the community board. So 4 male, 2 female. We don't have any trans clients or community members on the board anymore. We did have in the past, our board chair was a trans female, and because of health reasons, she had to pull off this past year. Race, ethnicity, and then the consumer status. I don't have on there HIV status. I would need to really check with the board if they're feeling comfortable in sharing their HIV status in this situation. So that's why I've never really included that in this piece. I also have a little, we have brochures that are on our website to try to encourage new members. Our prioritization process, again, we had it's our 2nd quarterly meeting of the year that was held on June 5th. I provided board with information on the service utilization as well as clarification of what the service categories meant. The board decided not to make any changes this year to prioritization. And then, as I always note, the medical transportation, it's fully funded under Ryan White Part B, so not under Part A. So when you get down here, you'll see a 0 because this is just a chart of the Part A allocations. So the prioritization, they kept outpatient ambulatory health as 1, medical case management is 2, mental health 3, the early intervention services 4, and then oral health is 5. And you'll see here there's quite a low number, dollar amount that is put towards outpatient ambulatory health. And on my next slide, it kind of shows the decrease over the several years and the changes in all the service category allocations that we've presented. Medical case management is still the largest amount in the core services, mental health, then early intervention services and the oral healthcare. Early intervention services, I know that San Francisco always describes that as the therapeutical monitoring stuff. So genotype, phenotype testing, that's not what it is for us. It is linkage to care and retention and care. So, and we used to have MAI dollars that went into that from our Part B, but because the state decreased Part B dollars and took away all the MAI funding and kept it, that's why we had to, there was just a slight increase in the early intervention services. So support services, they ranked EFA as one, housing is two, food bank is three, medical transportation is four. Again, the $0 amount is just because we don't use Part A, we use Part B, and it's $27,500. Basically, almost all of that is for taxi vouchers. San Mateo is rather large, and we do use some SamTrans vouchers, but if somebody lives on the coast and is coming to Edison Clinic, that could be a 3 to 4 hour journey, depending on if they're making connections and everything. So that's why we use a lot of taxi vouchers. And then you'll see on the next slide how we've greatly increased the food bank home delivered meals. Okay, and I can explain that if people want, but I kind of explain it here. So this is the slide where we show the shift in resources over the past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, mostly impacted by the Affordable Care Act and now the adult full scope Medi-Cal expansion that began on January 1st of this year. Many clients have been able to enroll in Medi-Cal and or another payer source. And these payer sources covered many of the services that were traditionally funded under Ryan White. But because Ryan White's payer of last resort, that's how we've switched a lot of things. So you'll see like way back in 2017, and if this was much larger, we were putting in 203,000. Now we're only putting in 23,000 to outpatient ambulatory because most of our clients are eligible for other payer sources. Oral health has always remained the same. You see a slight decrease here in the medical case management. That doesn't impact services at all. That just is the county picking up the extra cost, mental health services. And then I guess we did stay the same with early intervention services. The support services, housing remain the same, given the constraints that Ryan White puts on housing. And it's the same agency that provides the housing services that and the emergency financial assistance that also is our HOPWA that receives most of our HOPWA funding. So they can utilize a lot of different of these resources in interchangeable ways, but it just isn't as easy to use the Ryan White funding for housing. So that's why we put such a small amount there. The food bank, as you can see, we've greatly increased that over the years. There is this during COVID. That's when we did get this extra Part A CARES dollars, not to be confused with Ryan White Care. It was, I forget what the CARES stood for, but it was all around COVID. So I kept that in there. Eventually that will roll off because that was the 1 year piece. But we have greatly increased the the food bank home delivered meals, just because that's been so important for the clients when they have been asking. And we've gotten any increases, we put it there. And then this year again, we also increased the emergency financial assistance, and that's been kind of steadily growing as well. That's where we added our funding increases for Part A. And that is it. So I will be beefing up again, once I remember everything, just kind of the key points and talking more about how our programs are all integrated. Our STI, HCV, and HIV programs are all integrated. So I'll kind of be putting some more information on that. And if people have questions, because obviously I can't put everything on one page, people can feel free to ask. And I'm going to stop sharing.
Great. Thank you so much, Matt.
And rambling.
No worries. Anyone has any questions for Matt? Okay. I don't see any. So thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate that. And now we have reached the end of our agenda. Mark has already hopped off. So if there's no other questions or anything else anyone's like to add, we can adjourn. Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Manuel.
Okay.
try keys down really quick?